Hey guys, this is DJ Beefcake and you're listening to Where's the Beef at radio.dominican.edu, where I tell you all things beefy, but specifically news or other stuff happening on campus. So last week I was joined by Captain Quality and DJ Gaines to talk about politics and what our thoughts were as just young voters of this nation and what our thoughts on the whole this presidential campaign. And we had a great conversation. I think we convinced Captain Quality to vote because he was kind of iffy about that, but I think we got him. So first off, today we're gonna talk about the campaign a little bit more, but we're also gonna talk about volleyball. As you can tell by my voice, again, I just want to take a quick second to apologize that it'll probably be this raspy for the rest of my shows because we had a game last night and we screamed a lot and we won. So the bad news is we screamed a lot. Good news is we won. I think in the beginning of the season, we had a tournament, a Hayward tournament or something. I think it was a Hayward tournament. I came in, I made it a goal, and I said, I want to lose my voice. And I haven't gotten it back since that tournament.
It's always been a little raspy. Can't hit those high notes. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to.
And right now, I'm just going to take a quick second to introduce my guests right now. I have Mads Powell and DJ Gaines, who have been...
What up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for being here. They are also on the volleyball team with me. And we had a pretty good game last night. It was kind of rough, but it was kind of epic almost.
Very epic.
Because two of the three games went to at least 30, mm-hmm. 30 points. And for all those who don't know, volleyball is best 3 out of 5, and it's games to 25.
You have to win by two.
You have to win by two, so it's that much harder when it's 31-31, and then it's just the tensions are high, emotions are going, and at that point, it's just a game of mentality.
Exactly, and actually, I think it was the third set, mm-hmm. went 33-31.
Yeah.
And that is the longest set that Dominican has had in D2 history.
Yeah.
So, fun fact for all you out there.
Brandon Davis, our social media guy for athletics, wrote this whole article about how epic it was and how...
I just wanted that set to be over.
I know. That was pretty rough because we did go to 5, so that means we lost that one. Anyway, it was rough, but we came out on top, which is good. So, as of now... If you want to look at it this way, we're fourth in the conference. But if you look at it, which I choose to do, we are third in the conference because the top two teams are tied for first. So technically, we're third.
True.
That's what I'm going to look at it as, which is awesome because I think now we've won 10 games.
Yeah.
Our record is 10 in, no, our
10-6.
10-6, but our season record is 6-2.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm a sophomore, and going back to last season, we only won 9 games,
mm-hmm. out of total
all of the conference, mm-hmm. and we've already beaten that thus far, which is such a great accomplishment.
Halfway through our season,
exactly,
been that successful.
And it's super exciting, I think. So I'm going to share with you guys a quote about our assistant sent this to us with one of the scouting reports, and I think you guys both read it, but for me, I think it spoke volumes to our team this year and just the great change we're seeing in what we're doing this year. The quote is, team sports are usually difficult things. Sometimes your team wins because of you, sometimes in spite of you, and sometimes it's like you're not even there. That's the reality of a team game, that at one point in my career, something wonderful happened. I don't know why or how, but I came to understand what a team meant. It meant that although I didn't get a hit or make a great defensive play, I could impact the team in an incredible and consistent way. I can impact my team by caring first and foremost about this team's success and not my own. It didn't mean rooting for us like a typical fan. Fans are fickle. I mean care, really care about the team, about us. I became less selfish, less lazy, less sensitive about negative comments. When I give up on me, I become more. I become a captain, a leader, a better person, and I came to understand that life is a team game. And you know what? I've found that most people don't know that. They don't realize that life is the only game in town. Someone should tell them. It has made all the difference in this world to me. And that quote was by Don Mattalingi. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, our assistant coach sent this to us. And for me, it spoke volumes to how we play and, like, mm-hmm. what our spirit is on the team. And I think that's one of the things, the difference than last year and this year. And I think it was the difference that won us the game last night was our energy and our drive. What do you guys think?
I feel like before, this is my fourth year on the volleyball team, it was all a individual and how as an individual you played at the end of the night, you looked at your individual stats, and it was just all, it felt very
disconnected.
Yeah, disconnected as a team. And this year, it doesn't matter who's on the court. You can hear the bench screaming as loud as you can. Yeah. It doesn't matter who gets the kill. Everyone is screaming as loud as they can. Your coaches are screaming as loud as they can. It just feels like everybody is in it for the exact same reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from my perspective last night, so I started the game out, but then I ended up getting pulled out after a few errors. But for me, usually, but in my past seasons, my past volleyball seasons, I've been upset with that. I'm like, why is this happening? I would almost hope the person who was out on the court for me would do bad so I could go back in. Mm-hmm. But now, this whole season, my perspective has changed. I want to play for each other. If I'm out and the person that's going in for me, I want them to do just as good as they should. I want them to perform the best they can. And I think that's being a selfless player is what's leading us to our team's success. And I feel strongly that a lot of our teammates are like that, and that's why our bench is so loud. I don't come off the court and sulk and go silent on the sideline. Now that I'm on the sideline, my new job is to produce energy and to cheer for the team. And I think we have a lot of players on the team with that mindset, and that is what contributes to our success over other teams.
And I think that because of that, we have that great mindset is what makes, honestly, because I go in and out half the game, and so I'm on the bench half the time. And the bench is just as fun, if not more fun, than being on the court, because it's not as stressful. But we just scream random
stuff.
Get in
their head.
We get in their head. We just have the right mentality. We'll see the dumbest, weirdest things just because it's funny. And because if we play better when we're happy, it's hard to play when you're mad, you know? Yeah. What did we say last night? We said the weirdest things, like
I'm gonna let you finish. When a girl had amazing dig with her foot and like tried to continue the rally on, and then we just came back and stuffed it back in her face, and I was just like, yo, I was gonna let you finish, but we're too good, you know, we shut you down.
I remember my parents came to the game last night, and the first thing it says, we were laughing so hard at your bench, we just forgot to pay attention to the game for a few points. Zoe was an animal, and I was cracking up.
It's so much fun on the bench. It literally is like a party.
Yeah. And Amy Steinwan on our team. Here's another stupid example.
No, yeah, please.
So there's a difference in volleyball of playing smart and playing powerful. So powerful, you go up, swing away, but that's usually what the hammer does. But in this instance, she just did a nice roll shot and just scored. The other team was stunned. They didn't even move. And I'm on the sideline like, she studies chemistry. She's so smart. You know, she's so smart because she's
just the randomest things. I know, I went off of you. I go, this is a bright young woman. Amy Steinwan, vote for her. And that's not even relevant.
The other
all.
Team's coach will just stare at us. And he's just silent, and their bench is silent, and we're just hyped and juiced, and it's so fun, and it gets in their heads.
It's like, so hard to like, it's easy for coaches and other players to be mad at us for being happy, but it's so easy for us to be happy.
Exactly.
It's so easy for us to go crazy on the bench and shout random things. We also shouted last night, just simple, I want it more than you. Like,
our hearts are bigger.
We love this game more than you. Or we said also, they don't run the nun run, which is a run we do before every practice.
It's literally
is
half
long.
A mile.
It's so, well, it's not
feels long.
It feels like forever.
It's half a mile.
It's literally not, but it feels like forever. We do it every practice, but we just like just random stuff that like would make us all happy and like just get us in that right mindset. And,
go ahead. Oh, and it helps on the bench because it's not just one. You know, it can be straining if you're the one person only yelling, but it's collective and we all do it together, and that's what contributes to a more energy on the court.
I also feel like before, players would try to be the coaches and the coaches would try to be coaches, and just like this collaboration of you need this, you need to do this. But this year, everybody knows their role. The coaches are on our butts 24/7, so intense, and we completely need that. But also having teammates that lighten the game up, make you forget about your errors in a good way, just like balances out the court like so well.
I totally agree with you that we know our role and we're holding each other accountable. Because I remember last year as a freshman, it was kind of hard coming in. Well, I'm a sophomore now, so I've only been here like a year and a half. So I came in and I had the opportunity of playing, and I just remember that I got told things, and it wasn't a team unit. It wasn't, hey, I'm gonna do the like, you need to do this. But, like, now this year I feel it's, hey, I'm going to work hard because you're my teammate so we all can mm-hmm. be successful. And yeah. I think another thing is people don't realize that volleyball is such a dependent sport. Like, I can't do my job successfully unless my teammate does.
Mm-hmm. It's a true team yeah. sport.
Exactly. So everything is dependent on each other. Like, the back row is dependent on the front row. The front row is dependent on the back row. The court is dependent on yeah. the energy for the, like, the bench from the energy. Everybody, mm-hmm. our success is determined by how we treat each other and how we view the game, you totally. Know?
And, like, last night in our game, they had a really great outside hitter who ended up getting 20-plus kills on yeah. us. But no one else really did anything, and they lost that game mm-hmm. because you can't rely on one person. And I feel like before, we always tried to rely on, like, one person each game, and it just yeah. it never worked out. But this year, it's the responsibility is so equal on every single person. When mm-hmm. you're on the court, everybody has the same responsibility.
And our coach holds us to such a high standard that I've never been held to before. And I think this is what is making us better, because we have to do better. Sometimes she'll just step off on the court and look you dead in the eye and say, do better. But you understand.
You know.
And it's, even though it's just two words, do better, you mm-hmm. understand what you need to do, because mm-hmm. she brings out this confidence in you. She knows that you know what to do. And so she straight up just says, do better. And I think that helps me a lot. And I actually went and told her the other day, I was like, hey, I appreciate how hard you are on me, and I don't want to let up, because I know that by you pushing this hard on me every yeah. day is going to make me better. You're going to make me earn my spot even more. And this can relate through any aspect in life. If someone's mm-hmm. not on you all the time, then how are you going to do better? And if there's a coach out there that's just, you know, making it iffy, or if you're doing good, not great, and they're saying, oh, you're doing so great, then you're not going to reach that level of greatness that yeah. you can be.
That's another thing. I, like, last year I would be somewhat satisfied, like, oh, we worked hard. Oh, mm-hmm. I think I worked hard. But by saying I worked hard, you're limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. You're, by giving an excuse, you're totally. Limiting yourself to how even much harder you can work. And you're stopping yourself from what could be something completely great.
Totally.
Another off the thing is, we have, I think, a bunch of our success, we would accredit to our new coaches this year. We have Yamil Nolan from Maine and St. Joseph's. And then we have Moo. Not exactly at her. She's like a one Chong name. She's like a, yeah, she's like a legend. She's she a is. One name woman. Moo.
No one knows her last name.
Yeah, but Moo's we love
not
her.
Not even her full yeah. name, but it's just Moo
it's
for us.
Moo. Moo. And she loves the movie Zootopia. I don't know if any of you guys seen it, but you should definitely go watch that. So, like you guys were saying, like, we all know our role, and we all, and I think what you said about, like, the coaches, like, we all have a responsibility, and the coaches hold us so accountable. And the responsibility is, it's different every game, I feel. Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yeah.
It's sometimes this person's doing well for us, or sometimes this person's getting it. It's different players. And I think that goes back to the quote that Moose sent us, is that, like, even if you don't even touch a ball, our mentality and our attitude is what contributes to a lot of our success. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but
I totally agree, because, I mean, our team is very consistent in the fact that there's always people playing well, but it might not be the same thing you're playing well at every single game, like Kate said, and you need to recognize what you're doing well early on and always mm-hmm. try to get better at the things you're not doing well in the game. But if you sulk about it, then you're not going to help anybody out. It's not going to help yeah. your teammates do better. It's not going to help you do better in your team in general.
Yeah, the wise words of our coach, it's not what you do, it's not the error you make, but it's what you do after respond. The error mm-hmm. that you make is how you respond is how it sets the mindset for the rest of the game. And I think everyone needs to accept their roles on the court and know that you're not going to be perfect all the time, and you have to have that mindset that shake it off, you know? Because in volleyball, the point's behind you. It doesn't yeah. affect the point in front of you. It's not going to affect – it's not like football where, let's say, you fumbled and now your team is, like, back on the 10-yard line or whatever. Yeah. In volleyball, it's completely back to zero.
Yeah.
And you can have games where you're up or you're down 7-20, and let's say you got a run and it's 20-20, it's ground zero again. It's game right. to five. Whoever gets those 5 points first is going to be the winner. There's a lot of times to be able to reset after each point. In volleyball, you get to reset and start all the way over again, and I think that's where the sport is so different from anything else.
I totally agree with you. And last night we were down 13-20.
Yeah,
we were at 13, and every point we got a bunch, like, couple aces, yeah. and then mm-hmm. we just some dumb big, points because yeah. they made errors and they weren't focused and they weren't in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that speaks to how strong and important having a strong mentality is, because mentality and focus and determination is the difference in teams. Like, you can have good discipline, you can have good defense, you can have good offense, but when it's down, like you said, to ground zero, it's whoever wants it more, and whoever wants it more is going to work harder. And I think that's what we do, when that's where our energy comes into play too, is when we're on the bench. Or I know for me, when I'm in the front row, I always call out the hitters. I go nut, like I say, like, whether the set's live or dead, just to, like, to let my back row know if she's going to dump, or I say, hey, watch the dump. She's going to dump it over on two. Or I'll call out the hitters, and I'll say, number nine's her priority. They're going to her. Make sure you guys line up and be disciplined on her block. Or sometimes I'll literally just talk to them. I'll, like, hey, I'm running a one. Like, please try and block me. And I did that. I said that to one of the players at the Concordia game when we played them. And I was like, I'm running a three. And sometimes when you talk to your setter, you try to hide what you're running because you don't want them to know. But I just told her. I said, hey, I'm running a three. And she thought it was funny. Like, she thought it was hilarious. She started laughing at the net. And she came up to me after the game and was like, hey, I think we're friends now. Like, it's you're funny. And I was like, thank you. I think I'm funny too.
We know you.
You have so much in common. You know, we're both
middles. I think. Like, but that, like, talking at the net, talking on the bench, like, that constant flow of communication not only intimidates the other team, but it gives you confidence. Totally. It gives your teammates confidence in you that, hey, I'm going to block that girl, or hey, I'm going to do this for you guys, you know?
Whenever we're, like, in a tight set, or even just in the middle of a set, I'm literally yelling, like, hey, we're winning this set. We are winning this set, because I have no doubt. Like, I literally don't doubt that we're going to come back 15 points and win.
And our team's really good at, for me, when you're in a game and you're down, by the score's 20-15, I don't even recognize the score sometimes. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the game's back 20-20.
Yeah.
Our team is really good at, no matter what the score is, we take it one point at a time.
Totally.
And that's the key to our success this season. And we don't give up. We want it more than a lot of other teams. And it gets the other teams on their heels. Or, where is this team coming from? What is this insane energy that is being produced? They're down by 20 points and they're still screaming like they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I think it really gets in their heads. And what can, because when they get a great kill, it's a little bit of applause from their team. But when we get a kill off of a pinky miss hit and it rolls over,
we scream like the coolest thing in the world.
We scream like it was game point of the conference championships.
Exactly.
And it gets in the other team's head like, wow, I don't know what to do, because I feel like we're making great plays and they're making dumb plays, but look at all this energy, and it just shakes them.
It's the thing that's different, and especially when our setter, shout out to Hannah Smith, she's like
five four.
She's very short to be a setter. Eyelashes make her 5'6". She's great eyelashes. But she is so short. She's short for a setter at this level. And when she gets a block, I think that's when I lose my head. I literally, I go off and I go, oh my God. I like ask them, why would you do that? She's
so,
I ask the other team, I go, that's so embarrassing. She's literally a midget. Like, why would you hit her a block? And it's just such a confidence like booster for us, and a mental, like a morale like downer for them.
Exactly. Or vice versa, when our other middle, Brittany, she plays defense after she serves one rotation.
Yeah.
And she's amazing at defense. She's, she's like 6 feet tall, and she gets digs like it's no day, like easily. And that's our middle.
That's
nice try.
Yeah, please try passing it to our middle again. She's really good at defense.
It's so funny because it's just demeaning to the other team. They don't know what to do at that point.
And also, not only do we cheer so loud when we do something good, or if it's like a miss hit, but we still get the point, we cheer even 10 times louder if they make a mistake. We yell at them like, why would you do that? That's so funny. Or when they hit a ball out, you're supposed to, you can't do that. You can't touch the net. Did you guys know that? Like, just like messing with their minds. And it's just so funny. And
you realize how mentally unstable so many athletes are.
How mentally unstable they are and their coaches.
Yeah.
And that's why so many of their coaches, they try to like mentally break us by calling a timeout or asking for subs. But we're right back at it, like doing dumb stuff when we come back in the game. Just start yelling at them. Or sometimes I'll call a setter out like, hey, this girl's never getting set again because she just got blocked by our 5 foot set. I will say that in a game to her face, and she'll look at me like, you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to talk at each other through the net, which is weird, but it's such a different thing that we're doing this year, and I totally love it, and it makes everything so much more fun and enjoyable.
Playing is fun.
Now, it's kind of a disclaimer, last night we didn't even have the best game.
No.
We didn't even do anything amazing. In fact, it was very
hard.
Bad. It was pretty bad.
I was so winded beyond belief.
We were so tired and just exhausted. And
the gym's disgusting.
The gym, there was a rat in the gym.
There's there were multiple rats running around. There's a boiler room. It was Alcatraz, basically, like the prison.
No, it was bad, but we didn't have, like I said, we didn't have the best game, but we, going back to the quote, we all did what we could, and we all, there was, like, some players that were doing great. I know Amy Steinwein was solid for us last night in her hitting. She struggled the first two games, but then she, like, came back, like, even, like, with a better mindset, mm-hmm. and she got us a lot of points just with her smart hitting and her finesse shots, and I think that's what, like, the mentality and our energy, like, that's the game changer for us.
I think you said last night, Beefcake, that their coach had to tell them, like, why they want, and we're all, like,
Yeah, we look at our huddle work and looking at our coaches, like, engaged, like, nodding our heads, like, little, like, kids who, like, do you guys want a popsicle? I'm like, yeah, whatever you say. And, like, that's what we look like when we look to our coach. We look at her like she's Jesus and she's preaching us the gospel.
She is.
Like, the word of God, and this is how you go to heaven. Like, that's what we're looking when we look at her. And then I look over at the other bench and I see, like, they're sitting there, like, their faces look like slung, and they look so like they don't want to be here. And it literally looked like their coach was saying, hey, like, you, why, like explaining to them why they need to care to play about volleyball.
Yeah.
And then we, like, look at them, we're like, hey, we want it more than you. And we tell them that, and, like, they know.
Yes.
And it's awesome. The last point I want to bring up is that it's super hard. Like, I want to, like, just address how and, like, give you, like, props to even after you went out last night, DJ Gaines. Your mentality on the bench was so great and so helpful. And everyone's been in that position where there was, like, they were being bad, like, they weren't doing as well, and someone else went in for them. I know I was when I was a junior in high school. I worked so hard to try to beat this girl out, and I couldn't. And she was a senior, and I was a junior, and it was just hard because my coach told me in high school, hey, whatever your number one job on this team is to make her better. So she was going to play no matter what.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
so hard to hear. It's like you want to play. Yeah, everyone wants to contribute and help their team. But that I learned one of the biggest lessons is that that was my job. That was my job that year to make her better. So I worked so hard to beat her in every aspect. I beat her in running lines. I beat her in playing. And I beat her in cheering. I out-cheered her. Is that a thing? I did
sure.
it. I won. Stat I won it. In that. I stat that for
most
me.
Most valuable cheer on the team.
Yes. But that's when I think I learned the biggest lesson that I've probably learned, like, thus far in life, is that it's not how, like, you can't control how others react, like my coach out telling me that's my only job, which is really hard to hear, but you can only control how you respond.
Yeah.
So why not respond in a way that not only betters you, but betters your teammates, and in the long run, it's going to better yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like when I would get pulled out previously, I'd sit there and, like, you know, you wouldn't be the happiest for the person that went in for you, but instead, this year, I feel like when you get pulled out, I've, like, changed my mentality, or, like, when I'm getting yelled at, or, like, not said as much because I'm playing like crap. Like, you look at it as be like, they're doing really well. Tomorrow in practice, I'm going to improve on this so this never happens again. Like, it motivates me to do better instead of looking at someone else for the reason. You have to look at yourself and be like, I was the reason this happened in the first place. What can I do better?
Yeah.
And coming in as a freshman, it was clean slate. There's four other people in my position. I knew my role. I knew my role at that point. And during double days, the whole preseason was to work as hard as I could in conditioning, any drill I could. And I ended up earning a spot onto the court. But then from there, I still have to room to improve. And then when I'm taken off the court, I know where my role is then, which is to cheer as I can. And I love that no matter where we are on the court, we support each other no matter what. And that's what makes this team so special. And I think that's what's taking us to new heights this year.
Yeah, I really cherish you guys.
Me too.
I love you.
It's going this season for me, it's going by so much faster than last. Last year felt like a whole year. And now we're already halfway through the season. And we have it's a great record. We have a great mentality. We're ready to, like, get back out there and do great things.
Yeah, it felt like last year we just wanted to get through one game. And now it's like, I don't want this game to be over. Yeah. Like, for me, I'm like, that's the last time I'm going to play Academy of Art.
That's
ever.
Crazy. Like, yeah. Oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. It's funny because last year when we played them, we were the team that they did their senior night on. So when you do your senior night, you most likely do on a night where you want to win. And they beat us last year, and then we came back to their gym, and it was nice to beat them.
Twice.
Yeah, that's nice to beat them twice, and nice to – because we beat them at home first time, but it's also nice to see that we can provide the same outcome and the same mentality and the same energy at an away gym, which is really hard to do. Okay, so I just want to get your guys' final thoughts on just – this season, what you guys' hopes are thoughts, like, as a senior, as a, like, this is your last year, and as a freshman, you got like 3 more years. Like, I just want to get your final thoughts on everything.
I just love the positive attitudes that everybody has on our team and the hard work that everybody puts in literally every day at practice. I mean, we get reamed on at practice by our coaches in a good way because it helps, but I just love seeing how everybody's improving and responding to the advice we get from our coaches and how it's really bringing us together as a team. Like, there's absolutely no drama this year with any of us. We all really appreciate each other, and it's basically the same team. I mean, we have new girls, but there's also a lot of the same faces, and everybody's just being really great to each other, and it's an awesome experience.
It's definitely a new mindset. I think that we can tell it's a new mindset by the way we respond to our coaches and the way we definitely talk to each other, because this year it's more, hey, like, if we make a mistake, it's, hey, I'm gonna do this for you, like, yes. And then the person responds with, I'm gonna get this up for you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna,
all for each other.
Yeah,
we'll be there for you. Like, we'll do that for you.
It's because all, like, no, we don't all have the best game all the time, and we depend on each other to pick us up where we're slacking. Like, I depend on my outside blockers to get, like, close it when I'm not getting there, and they depend on me to, like, give energy. You know, we always have this, like, give and take,
And we know how to balance it out well, but. I know as a freshman coming in on the court, it can be really nerve-wracking. I remember my first couple games, but when I would shank a pass or something, the whole team would bring in a huddle, look me dead in the eyes, like, shake that off. You got the next one. They'd put so much, they install so much confidence back in you after you do something bad, so you don't even realize your mistake. Or when you make a not a complete error, but you don't do something as well as you'd like, your other teammates pick up that slack for you when you need them to, and then vice versa. Let's say another teammate's not doing so well, your other teammates will revolve around them and carry their mistakes forward. You know what I'm we work for each other, we better every point, and that's what that's what helps us shake off our errors so easily, is because our team works for each other so hard. It's a give and take. We're connected by this whole string, and I believe our energies and everything is so positive, and we have this relationship with each other that even if someone points at you, it's like, you can do better, you need to get that ball up, we don't take it negatively at all, because we have this trust that we know how well each other can do, and so we can hold each other to that accountability.
All right, DJ Gaines, final thoughts and hopes for the future.
For the future, I hope we just keep riding on this wave of success, honestly. At this point, if we keep up this energy and we keep working for each other, we keep working hard in practice and doing the best we can with every single touch on the ball, then we're going to reach great heights this season. And it's going to be tough for us this whole month because it's away, but we have to we really need to stay disciplined with our mental focus and our physical gameplay. And I think a huge contributor to our success for the end of this season too is going to be how well we focus in practice, because I know when we come out of practice feeling good, then, and we have a game the next day, we're on fire. And it's that's where our coach comes in hand, where she doesn't let us slack off in practice at all. And I think that is what's making a huge difference this season. And so that's my hope. My hope is for us to just keep riding this wave and see where it takes us.
Yeah, same. My final thoughts on this whole thing is that I'm super stoked to be so young in this program and to be making strides from one year to the next. And I'm stoked because first I get to be part of this kind of like uprising that we're not uprising, but this uphill thing we're going on, and it's great to be a part of it. And I'm also excited because for the seniors, it's their last year and they're going to have a great memory to look back on, like, hey, we worked super hard in this season and we were successful, and it was so much fun while we were doing it. It's beyond fun. I love going to practice. I love hanging out with you guys
too.
And it's been such a fun season.
Mm-hmm.
And I also final thoughts is we know we have, I think another thing to attribute to our success is we don't think highly of ourselves. We know we're not 6'8", we're not a powerhouse team. We know we have work to do. We know we have to come out, and every game is going to be a grind. We know that every game is going to – we're going to have, like, to work hard.
Yeah.
Even after last night, we came back in the locker room and we said, hey, like, that was, like, we won, but barely. We barely won. And they didn't even want it. And we have so much to work on, and we just have so much to do. And the fact that we can realize that, I think it is so telling that we can go so much higher, you know? And the last thing is, I want to agree with you, DJ Gaines, on the fact that our coaches totally always hold us accountable in practice, and practice is where games are won. So I know we're, at least I know I am, and I know you guys are, we're all determined to make like practice like as perfect as we can and just to get better each step at a time.
Totally.
All right, so that was all for Dominican Volleyball. We're going to go on a short break. You're listening to Where's the Beef with DJ Beefcake at radio.dominican.edu. See you in a few minutes. So go to hell if what you're thinking is to try it. Love would never leave us alone. I in the darkness, you must come out the light. Guys, we're back. This is Where's the Beef with DJ Beefcake. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. We just had kind of an inspirational talk about volleyball and this season and how we are going. I had some team members on with me because I am on the volleyball team. Little shout out to Matt Spell. Thank you for coming. And I have with me still DJ Gaines. Thank you for being here still.
I'd love to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Another thing is that we have our next home game next Thursday against Notre Dame. So if you want to come support, please feel free. And if you can't make it, also tune in to radio.dominican.edu. They put up a fantastic broadcast.
Please be there. It's our only home game for the month of October.
Yeah, so. Please. We need fans. All right, so we just talked about volleyball and kind of a little inspirational heart-to-heart about the season. Now we're going to look a little bit into politics. So last week I talked a lot about politics and the debate with DJ Gaines here, and also I had Captain Quality on my show. They are great. They have great radio shows. Make sure you tune into them. DJ Gaines was just before me from 2 to 3, so tune into her next week. And Captain Quality is Wednesdays 8 to 9, so make sure you tune into his. They put on a great show, so make sure you check it out. Okay, so after we had this discussion about the election, I personally got super fired up about the whole thing because, one, I didn't realize how much I actually should care about this, and two, I don't know, just it instilled something in me that I was like, I should care about this. I need to care about this. So I actually went home that night and I registered to vote. And I like was thinking about it, and I was, why is this important to me? And then I decided that I'm going to be in the prime of my life in the next 4 years. So whoever's elected president is going to be, that's going to be the government I'm going to have to live with. And when I'm starting out my life in this new world as a new adult, I want to have the best possible situation set up for myself. And I don't want to like have a terrible government because I didn't vote. I didn't do my civic duty as a young person to vote, because it will have an effect on me like later in life. And that's why I think one of the main reasons was the driving factor. And I even called my family. I was like, Sean, my brother, I was like, Sean, you need to vote. Why aren't you voting? And I talked to my dad. I was like, Dad, who are you voting for? And he said he was voting for Trump. And I was like, hey, don't do that. Because I believe that Hillary Clinton should be our next candidate. And that's just a biased opinion. But I asked my dad, I said, why are you doing that? And he did give me one valid reason, actually. He said, whoever the next president will be, we'll choose the next Supreme Court nominee. And because a Supreme Court justice died last year, and there was some debate about whether Barack Obama, our current president, should fill that slot, or the new coming president should fill it. And the next, so whoever's going to fill that, which is going to be our next president, is going to be either a Republican or a Democrat. And the longevity, in my dad's mind, outweighed the 4 years. So he said, well, whoever's going to be on the Supreme Court nominee, that's going to be far more beneficial for me as a Republican in the future. And I said, you do have a point. So also last week we talked about a lot of kind of like the scandals and the superficial stuff and just the media surrounding it. And we were paying attention to things that were not even relevant to the debate, like Melania Trump's dress, which was stunning, by the way. It was actually beautiful. The number of interruptions that Donald Trump had on Hillary, which was 55 to be exact. I saw that and I was kind of shocked. And she didn't interrupt him once, which was very telling to me. Also just things like coughing and being perceived as a weak candidate. One of the scandals I talked about for Trump in specific was his tax return scandal. And recently it just came from a tax return scandal, and now it's even heightened too. There's more news about it. And it's saying, like, then I didn't know this, but it's $916 million in tax records that he hasn't released. And I think that by not releasing these things, he's not, he's making it harder for himself. He's saying, why, what do you have to hide by not releasing these? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's just not being very on. It's like, it's a genuinity sort of thing coming from the public, because he's not owning up to these losses, and you want to have trust in your president, your future potential president, and by him not releasing these is kind of shady.
Yeah, definitely shady. And one of the things he said in the debate was, I'll release my tax returns when Hillary Clinton releases her, recovers her 30,000 emails that she deleted.
Yeah.
And which is deflecting from him. And it's not like your problem's going away. His problem is still there. It's still obvious, if not more obvious, because he is calling her out even though his is probably 10 times worse.
Yeah, he's trying to draw attention away from himself by pushing it upon Hillary Clinton. And I think that's, he's not owning up. He's not accepting it. He's not doing anything to fix it. He's just trying to push away attention to something, a different problem, because he doesn't want to take an accountability from his own problem and work on that first. He's just trying to draw attention somewhere else.
And in my opinion, I think if he had just released these far sooner, then this wouldn't even be as big of an issue, because mm-hmm. people know he's a successful businessman. People know he's worked hard and to create this empire. But because he insisted on not giving it, I think it's just like we want what we can't have. So the mm-hmm. public is even more interested in the fact that he's not even releasing it. All right, so that's a little bit more on that scandal. But now, after I've recently found this new discovered interest in politics and what my role should be in this presidential election, which is to vote. And if you haven't registered to vote, you can go do that at dominican.turbovote.org. Please do that. It's your civic duty, and it would mean a lot to me and our future president and our futures in general. But now that I found this recently discovered interest in the election, I realized that I talked confidently about I can talk confidently about the scandals, about the backgrounds, about the tweets, about the jokes, the funny things around the debate. But I found myself wondering about the actual things that were discussed in the debate. And I want to do some more research on that. So now I'm just going to go through some of the most memorable moments in the debate from a site called Politico, which does a lot of fact checking. And it's a very good site. So Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump wasted little time going for each other's jugulars. They were going back and forth, interrupting each other, calling each other out. And here are some of the top most memorable moments. So the first one is that Trump said that Clinton did not look presidential. He said that she didn't have the look of the president. She didn't have the stamina. This, in my mind, is a terrible argument. Looks play a role, but a silent role. They play a role in perception, because people perceive, like, what people perceive is reality. And like, you can argue back and forth about policies, discussions, you can, like, opinions, you can argue back and forth about that, but saying someone doesn't have the look is totally superficial, and looking good isn't a qualification to being president.
Exactly. I mean, besides from, like, health, physical health, maybe if she had, if she was white in the face and she had dark circles, that's something different. That happened in the JFK, the very first televised election we had. That actually played a huge factor, because JFK was really healthy looking and whatnot, and his competitor looked very sickly. In this case, it's just the way she's dressed and the way she appears. She's not strong or whatnot. That's
I think
absurd.
She appears very strong in my mind. I think she appears well put together, and it's hard to respond to these types of allegations or like arguments, because that's nothing to do with politics. How are you supposed to argue your point of view when someone's attacking how you look or how they think you feel? Like, they don't know you. So Hillary Clinton responded well. As soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates a peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents, an opening of new opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee, he can talk to me about stamina. Which I thought was a great response on her part. And then she also attempted to turn it back to him and comment on his derogatory comments towards women about the, I don't know if you heard about this, but the scandal, the recent one, is about Miss Piggy or Miss Housekeeping, which was Miss America in 1996, I believe. There was
Miss Universe?
You're right.
She ended up becoming a American citizen just so she could vote against Donald
exactly,
Trump.
Exactly, yes. So her name's Alicia Machado, and she was one of the first Miss Universe. And after she won, she put on some weight. She's young. She put on some weight. There's no, cause or anything, but she just put on some weight, about 60 pounds. And Trump ridiculed her, calling her Miss Piggy and Miss Housekeeping, and brought her out in front of cameras to work out and interviewed people to say how she's working out. And I as a woman myself, I would not want to be told, you need to be skinnier, you need to do this, or you need to. It's hard. And especially hearing those comments from him coming back on him was definitely a shock to him, because he responded, where did you find this information? And Clinton said she has a name, Donald, and her name's Alicia. And she also, another side point, well, to continue my first thought, which is she just called him out, but he didn't respond to these allegations. He just said, where did you get this information?
Yeah, he's doing that another attention straying tactic to draw away from him.
Yeah, and she also called him Donald by his first name, which I was, when I was doing my research, it said that this was a power play by her. She, by calling him Donald, is a kind of a sign of not disrespect, but it's kind of a power move. Mm-hmm. You know, when you, like an elder, you say Mr. or Mrs. or Doctor, it's a sign of respect because you're younger than them and they have a title. But by calling him Donald, I feel like that, like she like was on his level, if not above it. And just, I think that was a good move by her. So Trump responded to this with, I said to myself, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. It's inappropriate. It's not nice. But here she is, referring to Hillary Clinton, spending hundreds of millions of dollars on negative ads on me, many of which are untrue, and they misrepresent, they are misrepresentations. And I will tell you this, Lester Holt, who puts on the event, it's not nice, and I don't deserve that, but it's certainly not a nice thing that she's done. Which is super interesting, because every time that someone comes at a attack of like Donald or Donald Trump, he deflects it and then attacks their personality. Mm-hmm. And another interesting point is so Hillary Clinton released an ad that had a bunch of women, I don't know if you saw it, looking in the mirror, young girls. They were looking in the mirror, and then they had Trump's voice in the background playing, like saying things like, I don't respect that girl, or she's fat, Miss Piggy, like just derogatory comments towards women. And then it had young girls looking in the mirror, our future generations, which is such a powerful ad campaign, I thought, by Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton. And then I just saw on Facebook Donald Trump's campaign attack towards her did all on policy. It was attacking her policies, which was different. Like, there was a complete difference. She was attacking his character, and he was attacking her policies. And I'm not sure which one I thought was more effective. I don't know. What would you think would be more effective, attacking policies or attacking a person's character?
I think it depends how each attack is laid out, because there can be more of the way Hillary Clinton's ad portrayed Donald Trump's character was huge. I have not seen Donald Trump's attack on Hillary's political campaign or whatnot, but I think that Hillary did make a strong power play with that ad, and because since he is in charge for the next. One of them is going to be in charge of our generation for the next 4 years. That is, I will be out of college by then.
Yeah.
And that's a strong, these are the next 4 years of my life are very important yeah. for determining my success for my future. And so I think how Hillary is playing to younger generations is huge, a good tactic. So I don't know. I think for me, attacking someone's character is a more beneficial because it relates to people more.
Yeah.
And it's a more of an emotional connection. And so I think that's it plays out better that way.
And it's easy to do to Trump in specific because his character has been attacked. But mm-hmm. if you have him saying what he actually believes or has actually said, put it with what he's saying now, it's just there's a comparison and it doesn't hold up and people don't trust that. All right, the next thing. Another memorable moment is that Trump talked about how he wanted to see Obama's birth certificate because he claimed that he was born outside of the United States, and there was some debate on that back and forth, and then he said I was the one that got him to produce the birth certificate, and I think I did a good job. And then he jabbed at Clinton and said, just like she can't bring back jobs. She can't bring back jobs she can't produce. Just totally irrelevant. Like, the more I hear these arguments, the more it infuriates me, because that's not how you were like responding to someone's question of like policies or anything, discussions, whatnot. Responding with an attack of someone's character, it's not an argument. It's not a valid argument. And people are starting to realize that the more he talks, the worse it gets in my mind. Mm-hmm. The next memorable moment was the fact check fight. And this was just things that were said, like going back and forth, which were not true. For example, Donald Trump called out Hillary for describing something inaccurately. And Clinton shot back that he was mischaracterizing her position against the whole deal. And she said, I know you're living your own reality, but those are not the facts. And when she got back, she was encouraging her fans or like supporters to check these facts and look at the facts and prove him wrong and like prove everything he's saying is wrong. So she definitely encouraged that on Twitter, on her website. I saw a bunch of Facebook ads about it or Facebook things that were shared about the correctness of the debate. Number four on the 10 most memorable moments was the whole tax return, the tax income scandal that Trump had going on. He said that paying no income tax makes me smart. And then this is when he said that I will release my tax. He said the statement, I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes when she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted. As soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns. And that's going against my lawyers. Us again, just deflecting. He's not owning up. He's not taking like any responsibility for like the things that he's done and what America wants to see from him. And he comes out, he thinks he's so, he describes himself as transparent with what he thinks and what he feels mm-hmm. about other issues. And he thinks he's just so abruptly honest. But if he was so abruptly honest, he would just come forward with this information
yeah.
and talk about his business and talk about why he did what he did. I mean, I would trust him more. Like, I don't trust him now, but I would have a little bit more mm-hmm. faith that he would do right by our country, like a little bit more.
Yeah, I just wish he would own up to stuff. It's almost like asking little kids, well, Sally didn't do that either, you know, and she lied as well. And so like deflect it, like it's her fault too. No, just be like, yes, I lied. I understand. I'll do better next time. He's just playing this political campaign just like a little child. It's so childish, this whole election, it seems.
Yeah, you're right. It's totally going back to little kids. It's like, well, Sally called me, like, she's like, well, why did you throw a rock at Sally? Well, she has bad hair. Well, that doesn't mean anything. You shouldn't throw a rock at Sally. That's rude.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
That's my friend Sally. Don't do that. Okay, so the next memorable moment we're going to talk about is how he defends his business practices. So he defended it after Clinton slammed him, saying that how he was stiffing his workers and bringing companies into bankruptcy. And then he tried to defend his dealings, and he said, look, it's all words and sound bites. I built an unbelievable company, blah, 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 just talking about how great his company is, which is, yeah, good for you. Don't really care. It has nothing to do about anything. Doesn't have anything to do with how you treated your workers. That's what she was accusing you of, so you should have responded to that. And then he said, oh, I thought this was really weird. He said that he's opening up a new hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue. So he said, if I don't get there one way, I'm going to get to Pennsylvania Avenue another way.
What?
I thought that was so weird. Why would you open? Okay, two things. One, this could be a very smart idea, and we just all think it's weird, that if he became president, God forbid, that he would have, I think he would have so much business in a hotel that he owned mm-hmm. right next to the White House. That could be very beneficial. But two, if you don't become president, and that's what I hope for our future, why would you put like on this like very established like street, why would you put your hotel there?
Yeah.
It's kind of offensive to all the presidents in my mind.
I just think it's going to be weird having a president / businessman running our country.
Yeah.
It could be a totally different tactic mm-hmm. to politics because no one has been there before mm-hmm. because he's been so successful in his businesses and seeing how he's going to use his marketing strategies and stuff towards politics and his whole different attitude. And Trump hates to lose. And so, I mean, I feel like he's not going to let our country down, but these moves that he's making, building a hotel on,
yeah, that's weird.
And know, then if he doesn't make it to be our next president, it's just sitting there.
Yeah,
just,
that's uncomfortable.
Just be a constant reminder.
It's like an ex-boyfriend that won't leave. Like, get out. It's weird. Yeah. And okay, so the next memorable moment we're gonna talk about is specifically how Trump hints at Clinton's stamina. And just another example of how he's just going after the character. And I looked up, there's actually a name for this. It's called an ad hominem attack.
Yeah, it's a logical fallacy.
Exactly. An ad hominem is a Latin phrase. There's a Latin root to it.
It's like against the human.
Ad means to, homo, man. So it's attacking the human instead of the argument. And he does this time after time where he attacks her look, her character, her stamina, just everything, and responds just rude to Clinton. And then she responded in a very strong way, in my opinion. She said, "I think Donald just criticized me for preparing for this debate." And she said, and I said, "And yes, I did. And you know what else I prepared for? I prepared to be president." And I think that's a good thing.
Ooh.
This is a good comeback. Yes. It's confident. It's drawing back from the personal jabs to back to the main point of this is a presidential debate.
Exactly. She's not just, I'm here to be president, not to do all of this. So I don't know why you keep talking about it. I'm here to serve the country.
In my mind, that was just a super strong comeback and just gave her a little bit more credibility to, hey, I'm not going to attack his character back. I'm going to talk about the real issues here.
Yeah.
The next thing, just a memorable moment is just when they talked about how they agreed on child care policies, which is the only thing that I've heard them agree on thus far. So I thought that was pretty big. All right, number 8 on top 10 most memorable moments is that Trump continues to mislead on his Iraq war stance. He said, "I did not support the war in Iraq. This mainstream media nonsense is put out by her," pointing to Clinton. So, and then Holt, who put on the whole thing, the debate, said the record shows otherwise, which it does. And it's hard to hear someone just blatantly lie. And then Clinton responded, "Fact checker, I hope the fact checkers are tuning in and turning up the volume and working really hard to just set the record straight to let everybody know what the truth is." Number 9 on the top 10 most memorable moments is that Clinton laughs off Trump's temperament barb, where you know how she called out him for being baited by a tweet. She said, "Being a man who can be baited by a tweet is not a man who should be running our country or have access to nuclear weapons." And he responded to that, trying to turn it around and saying that actually she was too volatile instead of him. And he said, this was his reason. He goes, "The other day, behind the blue screen, I don't know who you were talking to, Secretary Clinton, but you were totally out of control," which has no validity, there's no proof. You're just saying, like, random things that have you're not backing up what you're saying. And it was just hard to hear an argument, again, deflecting. And he should really take more opportunities to explain himself when he's...
Yeah, because if he explains himself well, it could shut up Hillary Clinton.
It could
go the other way. Like, she's doing it to him, and he's not building any credibility for himself. He's just keeps deflecting. And
yeah, because people have gotten past the point that he's an asshole. People have gotten past that point because he owns it.
Yeah.
And if he owned these other mistakes, I think people would look at him a little bit differently. Last thing on the top 10 most memorable moments to wrap up this show, Trump backs off rigged suggestions. So he said that this election would be rigged. So it's if he doesn't win, it's rigged. So basically say, "I win either way because I was gypped." He said, "If she wins, I will absolutely support her." And Clinton set the table for Trump and said, "Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but I certainly will support the outcome of this election." And with that political rant, I think we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for tuning in with me, DJ Gaines. You're listening to Where's the Beef with DJ Beefcake. At radio.dominican.edu. Thanks for listening. Make sure you guys turn into DJ Duncan right after this. Have a good one. You know, play keeps me on.